Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is from the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'll be reading verses 8 through 23. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of the officers, "but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. And then I'll be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I'll be reading two verses. Philippians chapter 4, the verses 6 and 7, with a focus this morning on verse 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 6 and Philippians chapter 4. The story we have read from the book of 2 Kings is a humorous story to many. A story in which God demonstrates the power that he has over any earthly force, and how he uses his servant. We have a king, an enemy king of Israel, who is attacking God's people, who is planning his attacks by setting up his camps and his forces at various strategic places where he can attack and surprise the Israelites. A man of God, the prophet of Israel, Elisha, makes the king of Israel aware of each and every move that the king of Aram decides to make. Each time the king of Aram plans out an attack or a strike, the Israelites do not pass by that place, and they are prepared because Elisha has warned the king, and each time Elisha is correct. The king of Aram is very upset about these events. He summons his officers and he is convinced that one of them is giving away the plans that he is making, that perhaps one of his higher command is committing treason by letting the Israelites know of each and every attack and move that he makes. His commander's response is, "None of us, my lord the king." But Elisha the prophet, he knows the very words that are going on and that are being said in your innermost bedroom. The king of Aram continues to be enraged. He gives the order to go and find Elisha, and the report comes back that he is in Dothan. And so he sends his army to capture Elisha and bring him back where he will be confronted by the king and perhaps killed by his forces. Elisha is there in Dothan. And the next morning he finds a strong force of the Aramean army surrounding the city, trying to find and arrest Elisha. His servant wakes up and sees these forces, and Elisha says, "Don't be afraid." "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? Look at these forces of this powerful army that have come to get you." "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prays that the Lord may open his servant's eyes, that he too may see and know what Elisha knows to be there. And the Lord's army is present. The hills are full of horses and chariots of fire that surround Elisha, the servant of the Lord. What are we to make of this story? What are we to understand about how God works in the lives of his people and those who are called to serve him? Some time ago, I had a group of friends who attended a Christian concert, and the female singer of that concert was about ready to sing a song entitled "Angels Watching Over Me." And as she was introducing that song, she shared a story from her life about how there was a time when she was in a city and she had to go through a dangerous neighborhood in the darkness at night. And she made it through this city safely, this dangerous neighborhood, and when she arrived at her destination, her friends couldn't believe that she could make it through that place safely. And so they went to ask some of the people who were on the street, why didn't anybody touch her when she walked through that dangerous neighborhood at a dangerous time in the dark, alone, and at night? And their response was, "She wasn't alone. We saw two men walking with her that protected her as she went through." And her conclusion from that experience was that God had sent two guardian angels to protect her and guard her from earthly harm so that she could be safe and protected in all circumstances that she finds herself. And so she wrote the song, "Angels Watching Over Me." Is this the point of the story in 2 Kings chapter 6? Is this what God wants us to know and understand about this portion of Scripture? That we have nothing to fear on earth. No earthly harm will come to us because God will send His army and His angels to always protect us and guard us and keep us from harm. As we read this story concerning Elisha and we see the protection of God's army around him, is this what God wants us to know and live and understand? Well, the question then is raised, what about those Christian missionaries who all of their lives prepared to be missionaries and were sent out to China, and after 1 month on the field, they were killed by those they were sent to minister to? Where was God's protection and God's army for them if angels always watch over God's people? What about the Apostle Paul, who finds himself in a jail that is in Rome? What about him who has been arrested for preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ all over the world, and who has been beaten and flogged for his testimony for Jesus Christ, who now finds himself in chains in a Roman prison? And if he reads the story of Elisha, he must be wondering, where is God's army and angels protecting him from earthly harm and suffering as he protected Elisha? You see, this story of Elisha goes much deeper than God's protection of his people here on this earth. You see, as Elisha has the eyes of his servant open, and he sees the chariots and army of the Lord all around Elisha, it could have very well ended this story with this army arresting Elisha, hauling him away to the enemy city, and having him executed in front of the king of Aram. If that had been the end of this story, God's angels, God's army, could also have been present as all of those things took place. You see, there is much more to this story than an earthly understanding of what God is teaching us here. And the key statement for us is what the servant tells the prophet in verses 15 and Elisha's response in verse 16. The servant sees the horses and chariots that surround the city, and he cries out, "Oh my Lord, what shall I do?" And the servant asks, and Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elisha sees something much more than an earthly army that surrounds him. In fact, as you read the passage, you see the author of Kings is leading up to this very thing. In verse 9, he describes Elisha not as his name Elisha, but as the man of God who sent word to the king of Israel. In verse 10, we read that the king of Israel checked on the place, indicated by the man of God. In verse 15, the servant is described as the servant of the man of God. And in verse 18, we read the army of Aram described as the enemy of God. You see, when Elisha tells his servant in verse 16, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them," he is speaking more than just about an army. He is referring to more than just the Aramean army which surrounds the city, and that the fact that God's army is much more mighty than the Aramean army. Elisha is referring to the spiritual power of God which stands behind God's army, and the power of the devil who stands behind the Aramean army. those who are with us, those who are behind us in our army, the power of God Almighty, the God of whom I serve, is far more powerful than this army of the Arameans. Now Elisha prays that his servant's eyes may be opened to see the horses and chariots of the army of the Lord. We don't read in this passage that Elisha saw those very same things. He may have. We don't know. But one thing is clear, is that Elisha knows they are present. You see, in this situation in which Elisha finds himself, he starts at a higher order than those who are of his servants, those who are of the enemies of Israel. He recognizes that he belongs to the Lord. He recognizes that the Lord God is his God, and that as he serves this God, God is bigger and mightier than any earthly force that he could ever come into confrontation with, or any evil spiritual force that he could ever find himself in confrontation with. He knows that God is in complete control of this situation. He knows that as he serves as the servant of Israel, as the word of God is delivered to the king of Israel, giving him specific instructions as to how he should ward off his enemies, that God will bless him and comfort him and give him the strength to continue to serve in his duties. And whether the king of Aram is able to arrest him and haul him off to the city, his capital city, and be destroyed, Elisha knows that God is with him and that the army of the Lord is with him, and that even though he may suffer earthly pain and persecution and an earthly death, he has the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that God is more powerful, that God will deliver him, that God will protect him and bring him home someday to the place of the higher order, to his heavenly home, where God dwells. You see, this is the peace of which the Apostle Paul speaks in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. When the Apostle Paul writes, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This peace of God, the Apostle uses military language to describe it. A peace of God which transcends all earthly understanding or all earthly knowledge of your present situation. The peace of God goes beyond that understanding, and it will guard your hearts. He uses military language. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul finds himself in prison, doesn't he? He finds himself as a man who has faithfully served the Lord and preached God's word, just as Elisha has. He finds himself as a man who has gone all throughout the world and planted churches and has served the Lord well. And there he is, arrested in prison in Rome. And as the apostle finds himself in chains, you don't see of him writing here in the book of Philippians about how frustrated he is that God doesn't save him, about how much anxiety he has that perhaps he may someday soon face his death by execution. We don't see in here the apostle wondering why God's army doesn't protect him and deliver him from such difficult circumstances. How can God allow me, his faithful servant, to be arrested and put in this prison in chains? Why doesn't God do anything? He has the power to rescue me, and yet he does nothing. None of those words come from the apostle's mouth. Instead, we read that he is content in all circumstances, chapter 4. We read that whether he lives or whether he dies, it does not matter because he belongs to the Lord. We read him tell the Philippians, who are suffering the very same suffering that he has experienced and continues to experience, he tells them not to be anxious about anything, but continue to pray to God with thanksgiving. And God's peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how can he have such comfort? How could Elisha have such comfort in such difficult circumstances? Well, the key word is that last part of verse 7. In Christ Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul has identified with his Savior. And as the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he also lived in another world. His focus, as things happened in his life, went far beyond the earthly reality of his situation. He saw things in God's terms. He knew the task that God had for him. He recognized God's will for his life. As he knew the power of God's army that surrounded him, he went to that garden and he prayed, Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But it was God's will that he die. While still there in that garden, in Matthew 26, we read that he was arrested. And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent by the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. And going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Jesus replied, Friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. And with that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus' companions think that they can protect him by pulling out their swords and cutting off the ears and fighting against these who have come to arrest him. And Jesus reminds them that at his command are more than 12 legions of angels. If he desired to put a stop to this, he could. But those 12 legions of angels and those chariots of fire stood around the Son of God as he was arrested, as he was beaten and flogged, as he stood before the Sanhedrin and was condemned as guilty, as he stood before Pilate and the crowd chanted to crucify him. God's army, God's angels stood by and watched. As Jesus stood before Pilate, Jesus said to him, You would have no power over me if God had not given you that power, for he has ordained it. You see, Jesus saw beyond his circumstances. Jesus knew about the power of God. He knew about the power of God's army. He knew that if it was his desire, he could call down those angels to come and destroy those who sought to harm him. But that army stood by and watched as Jesus went to the cross, as he suffered and died and provided salvation for his people. You see, the Apostle Paul knows this. He has recognized this very thing in his own life. He, like the Lord Jesus Christ, sees beyond his circumstances. He writes of the peace that transcends all understanding, the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ had as he went to that cross. And now, as Paul speaks to the Philippians, he reminds them of this peace. They too have suffered at the hands of the Romans. They, as citizens of Rome who lived in Philippi, took great comfort in knowing that as citizens of Rome, they had peace in their sights. For the military power of Rome was to bring peace throughout all the world. And as citizens of Rome, they had extra protection because of that military and the peace that it sought to bring. And now that Roman military, which was to bring them peace, that Roman government, which was to provide for them peace on this earth, is now persecuting them, arresting them, putting them in jail because they love Jesus. In many ways, as Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, he knows that they must feel as if the king of Aram has surrounded them with his army, and they are all alone as the Lord's servants. But Paul has reminded them that they are citizens of heaven. Their lives, their futures, goes beyond their earthly circumstances. They belong to the heavenly realm, and as citizens of heaven, they belong to Christ Jesus. And because they belong to Christ Jesus, they look beyond whatever earthly sufferings or earthly circumstances they face, and they see the risen Lord Jesus Christ on his throne. They recognize that they belong to him, that anything that happens in their life, they should not be anxious about, for they belong to Jesus Christ, and he is there with them. His army is present with them in all circumstances. And even though God may not call his army down to destroy those who seek to harm them, they are present and they watch, and the future belongs to them, and they are to have the peace of God which transcends all understanding. You see, Elisha had that peace. Elisha saw the power of God even in his difficult circumstances. The Lord Jesus Christ rested in the power of God and the deliverance of God, even though God had ordained that he die. Paul understands this, and it is his desire that the Philippians and God's people of all ages understand this, that they should not be anxious about their circumstances because God is in control. His army is present. His peace, because of Christ Jesus and his death on the cross, is with them. And even though they may not understand what's happening, this peace transcends all earthly situations, and it will guard the hearts and the minds of his people in Christ Jesus. You see, what really needs the guarding, it's not an army to come and destroy those who are causing difficulties in your lives or circumstances. What needs guarding is the hearts and the minds of God's people. For when they know that peace, when they know that they are citizens of heaven and that Jesus Christ has accomplished all that they need and they desire, their hearts and their minds are protected forevermore in Christ Jesus. may our response always be to trust Him, to guard our thoughts, to guard our desires, so that they only please Him, no matter what the circumstances. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for the peace that transcends all understanding. We thank You that You have made us citizens of heaven, that we can see beyond whatever may cause us anxiety, whatever earthly situation, and rest in Christ Jesus. We pray that You would give us the peace of which Elisha knew, the peace of which our Savior knew, the peace of which the Apostle Paul understood so well, that we may know and understand that in each and every situation, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to our Savior. We have no fear, for in Him we have all that we need. Guard our hearts and our minds to trust You and know You in each and every circumstance. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.